I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, for me, it really don't matter. Like I said, I've been pretty consistent. If they don't want me here, they don't want me here. I go about my business. I understand the nature of the business. Like I said, as long as I'm here and under contract, I'm going to do what I have to do to perform at the highest level. But if this is the end, this is the end. You know, there's the same way that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones and the other Jerry Jones take care of their family, it's the same way I need to take care of my family. You know, I mean, I got my own three kids of my own, so we all need to take care of our own family at the end of the day.
Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs firing back at Jerry yesterday. We have been all over it here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby, and no reason to have the fan cam off for an hour because we just had Brian Broaddus from Oxnard, Brett Boone, Rangers hitting coach at 920, and right now, the legend himself. I felt his aura at Rayo's in New Orleans. I know you guys weren't there, but I walked in. I saw the commissioner, Roger Goodell, and I just felt the power. It wasn't the meatballs. It was Adam Schefter at this NFL party that I was able to sneak into. And he's now joining us on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Brought to you by Wild Fork Foods, wildforkfoods.com. Elite game day grilling favorites. Adam, good morning.
Sean, RJ, Bobby, thank you for having me today. Appreciate it. Nice to be with you.
Yes. Yesterday, we went to you guys live as you reported that the Cowboys have not actually exchanged contract proposals with Micah Parsons. Stephen Jones confirmed he also has not spoken to Micah's agent. Adam, we keep trying to find excuses for the Joneses and how they're negotiating these deals. We know the narrative, right, and the fact that they keep waiting and waiting and waiting. How unusual is it for the cap guy to do the talking until the very end? And what are we maybe missing about the way Jerry and Steven do this that they're not getting enough credit for?
Well, I think what happened here is that there has not been any recent talks. There has not been any recent contractual exchanges. But I think we have to go back to the spring. And if we go back to the owners' meetings and the lengthy press conference that Jerry Jones held at that time, I think that was quite revelatory in the sense that he was talking about meeting with Micah and he was ready to do the deal. And it certainly sounded at that point in time like Jerry and Micah were down the line on a deal. And then all of a sudden we had Micah tweet out, "We're not going to do a deal without my agent, David Mulgeta." And I think ever since then, everything's come to a screeching halt, which tells me that at that point in time, the Cowboys and Micah felt like maybe the deal was going to get done. And it also means that I don't know if the Cowboys are particularly pleased because they probably felt like the deal was going to get done. And Micah had to get his agent involved because he's one of the top guys out there. And that's his professional responsibility. So it gets murkier and murkier. Mm-hmm. And the more the time passes and the more inactivity there is, the more questions there are, the more conversation there is, the more speculation that arises, and that's kind of where we're at today, right? Now, what happens from here? That'll be interesting. I think Dallas felt like it was going to get a deal done at one point in time, and I think now everything's kind of, again, nothing going on.
How often does the cap guy in other organizations take it up to this point? Like, is it a blinking red alarm that Jerry or Steven have not spoken to Mulugeta?
Yeah, the deal's not going to get done that way. Like, David's going to have to be involved, I think. And I can't speak for Mike and Dave, but you heard what Micah said in that tweet, right? That David's my agent and he's going to do this deal. And I think that this just got so, I think Micah probably, in hindsight, looking at all of this and reviewing it all, Micah probably went further than he should have in a solo way, thinking he was doing a good thing. And actually, it probably was counterproductive in the long term to getting a deal done.
So in the terms of no formal offer made, is that like obviously it's a piece of paper here that it's
well,
got everything
well, again,
written down?
Again, I think I should have probably said it that in recent months or weeks. Back then, you know, no offer. Like I think Jerry and Micah had a deal, the parameters of a deal certainly in place. So an offer back then was made, right? But not recently, not in recent weeks.
Adam Schefter joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Adam, you know, that's one contract situation. The other one that's not getting negotiated right now, and it appeared to be something that was in agreement, also a David Mulugeta client, as George Pickens, who they traded for this offseason. What is the thought from the Cowboys on the Pickens acquisition? Is this really just a trial run, do you think, where they're saying, all right, we're going to make up our mind if we want to have him here long term, or could this be viewed specifically as just, no, this is a rental for a year where we're going in?
Well, I think it could be both, actually. I think that they bring him in knowing that they're going to have him for this year. They try out life with him. He tries out life with them. They see how they like each other. I think that they'd like to re-sign him. I think they'd like to keep him, but they also want to see how the year is going to go. And I'm sure he wants to see how the year is going to go and see what his market is, right? I think it's exploratory for both sides to figure out. And that's what they'll determine here in the days and weeks to come, whether or not they want to be together. So maybe he is just a one-year rental. Maybe he does get a long-term deal done with Dallas. I think both sides are probably open to that. I'm sure he feels really good about being a Cowboy right now. I'm sure they feel really good about having him here. You know, is that going to continue on for 20 weeks of the season? We'll see. And that'll help determine whether or not he is or isn't in Dallas.
Pickens' reputation leaving Pittsburgh obviously was not a great one. How much of that do you think was reality-based versus, hey, he just needed a fresh start, or maybe there were just some hurt feelings, and so maybe some of the feedback became more negative as things went along?
Listen, I think when I spoke to people in Pittsburgh, the thing that always came back to me about George Pickens is he is the most talented wide receiver in the game. That's how they felt. Wow. They just, it wasn't always easy to communicate with him. It wasn't always easy to have him on time to meetings. Like there were certain little things that I think George over time probably needs to be more responsible and accountable for. And if George can do those sorts of things and be responsible and accountable, then he's going to be an unbelievable wide receiver in this league.
Adam Schefter joining us here, 105 Through the Fan. What is your philosophy, your opinion on the Cowboys contract philosophy?
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
They just seem to take forever, wait till the very, very last minute. I mean, Jerry's obviously smart. I mean, he's no dummy. But what's your opinion on their philosophy?
Well, I think that's exactly it, RJ. Right? Like, I'm never gonna question the tactics of arguably one of the greatest marketers in American history, not sports history. American history. That's how Jerry is. Do I agree with how they would approach the cap? I would be more proactive about signing my players sooner. But I'm not going to argue with Jerry and the success that he has or hasn't had. Like, again, if we go back to last offseason, it's very easy to say it now, hindsight, but I would have said it back then. I was surprised that there were no conversations with Dak in February about a new deal. You know, a couple months later, Jared Goff gets done at $52 million. Then there are more quarterbacks that get done. And all of a sudden, Dak's at $60 million. So if they had gotten Jared Goff, or they had gotten him done at the time of Jared Goff, right before, right at, it's $52 million, it's $53 million. So it cost him an extra $7 million by waiting. What was the advantage of waiting? I don't know. Maybe Jerry liked that everybody was talking about Dak Prescott all summer. Maybe he got $7 million worth of PR. Like, that definitely could be the case. But to me, I would rather have signed him up early, had that $7 million to go spend on Derrick Henry. But I'm not going to argue with how they do things. Jerry's unbelievable.
ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter joining us here on The Fan. He's going to be telling us here shortly about a great cause that he's here to talk with us about. Before we get to that, Adam, I'm curious, you know, you mentioned Dak's contract there and how long they kind of meditated on that or thought about it. Last year was not a great year for him. He got hurt again and missed the back half of the year. Is there any part of the Cowboys you think that they look at it and go, man, we're kind of stuck now in a deal we wish we wouldn't have made?
I don't think that. I think, you know, Dak is still a top quarterback. He's just got to stay healthy. And if he's healthy, then the value will be there and there'll be other quarterbacks that surpass him in no time at all. And 2-3 years from now, that 60 might just be a bargain for Dak. So, you know, if Dak's out there and healthy, he's a great quarterback, but he just got to stay healthy. And that's been a battle recently.
Adam, you know, there was a big shock to a lot of people, I think, around the league, or at least outsiders, when they looked at Brian Schottenheimer getting hired in Dallas. And a lot of people thought, man, this is a candidate we all thought had kind of gone by the wayside. But Dallas has been really positive about him, and he's had a really good offseason. What are kind of the thoughts or the sense around the league about Brian Schottenheimer as a head coach and his prospects into the future and what kind of a coach he might be able to be?
Well, first of all, of course, everybody's going to be positive about him right now. Every team, every city is positive about their new coach everywhere because nobody's lost a game. So, I mean, it's really simple and easy. Like, if you weren't positive about your new head coach right now, like I can't even remember a head coach that started out that got hired where the team and city weren't positive about that guy. Maybe Adam Gase after the opening press conference when his eyes were darting all over the place, like people wondering what's going on there. But short of that, you know, everybody's always in love with their new head coach, just the way that it kind of is. Now, you know, Brian Schottenheimer, you know, I remember, you know, 15 years ago or so, he was the guy. He was the hot candidate. He was, you know, what all these young studs are. And then he I remember him turning down some interviews. Like, he turned down the chance to interview with the Bills, didn't go back to talk to the Dolphins, and all these teams that sought him out, the way that so many young coordinators are sought out today, they just kind of went away. The opportunities dried up. And then obviously over time, he's with Dallas. The Jones family gets to know him. His spirit is rekindled, so to speak. His stock rises. You know, it's like a stock that was really high, that crashed. It was down. And all of a sudden, somebody revived the company and the stock takes off again. That's really what it's like. And the truth of the matter is, really, none of the conversation really matters. I think that the players so far really like him. The organization is really pleased with them. You would expect that to be the case. The true results and the true proof will be in how they play this year. But there are a lot of positive signs. There are a lot of positive indications. I think people feel good about him. And if Dallas Cowboys win games and have the type of playoff success that they haven't had in recent years, then people are going to feel even better about Brian. And they'll continue to celebrate him.
When did you realize yesterday that Brandon Cooks was not George Pickens?
yesterday? Why? You mean like George Pickens coming out and catching a touchdown on the first play of practice? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Listen, Brandon Cooks. Well, here's the thing. You know, you want to equate those two players. If George Pickens carried himself the way that Brandon Cooks did, okay, George Pickens would be the greatest wide receiver in the league. That's what George Pickens is trying to pick up. Because Brandon Cooks is a pro. He's a pro. He may not be as talented as George Pickens.
Yeah.
But he's a pro.
I'm alluding to the ESPN video that went viral with you guys on set showing the Cowboys practicing when that was from a couple years ago. Were you not aware of that?
I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Mina
had. It happened.
Yeah, that went viral. All right, last thing before we get to this awesome early detection that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Teach us how to. You dress like, you know, a professor, like always, every day. Teach us how in journalism class to break a story. How's a normal story get broken from Adam Schefter, the process of it?
Well, that's like asking a coach, you know, how to draw up a successful play. Right. And every play is different and every story is different. And some stories you're working on for weeks or months and they don't work out. And some stories you don't even know are happening. And somebody calls you and they're like, this is happening. Like, whoa. So everything is always different. There is no actual formula. I remember one time I was working in Denver at the Denver Post and I was about to leave. This was when I was single and had far less responsibility, no kids. Didn't have four dogs. I could do whatever the hell I wanted to do. And I was going to play golf in Scotland with a bunch of people. And it was the summer in which, oddly enough, the Denver Broncos were rumored to be interested in Steve Young. And everybody was obsessed about that because John Elway had retired. And I remember my sports editor at the time, a guy I loved and enjoyed working with, Dave Wright. He goes, okay, can you just leave me the number that I call to find out if they signed Steve Young? Like there's one, a one-stop shop number. Like, you think that's how it works? Like, you just call this one number and they give you the answer about whether or not the Denver Broncos sign? Are you out of your mind? Like, there's no one number. There are all these numbers, and you got to be on the phone with these people all day, and it's massaging it and figuring it out and waiting and being patient. And yeah, it doesn't work like that, Dave. Yeah, so good luck. Let me go play golf, and I'll get back to Steve Young when we get back from vacation.
Adam, talk to us about Sanofi and what you're doing with the early detection.
Yeah, well, this is really important. And really, I know we've talked a lot about here Micah Parsons and George Pickens, but if I could leave the listeners today with anything, it would be this. And early information is sort of how I make my living, the value of early information that you're asking me about. And I want everyone to know that early knowledge is crucial when it comes to your health. And it's why I've partnered with Sanofi to raise awareness about the importance of screening for type 1 diabetes. My wife, Shari, has type 1 diabetes. I've seen what it's like for her to manage the disease. Not great. T1D can't be prevented, but it can be detected early. And screening gives you valuable time to prepare. And it's why I really believe it's important for everybody to make a plan. And they can go visit screenfortype1.com to learn more about T1D. Talk to your doctor about T1D. Tell your doctor you want to be screened. Just think it's really important for people to do that right now. And so just one more time, if you don't mind, visit screenfortype1.com to learn more about T1D.
Thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. Keep up the legendary work. Look forward to having you on again. Happy football season.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate having me. Enjoy the summer.
Adam Schefter from ESPN here in the Wild Fork Foods hot seat, the only place you're going to get all your future protein, whether it's steaks, whether it's briskets. It is Wild Fork Foods, another official training camp sponsors of 105.3 The Fan. More morning show good luck for Brett Boone.
Maybe.
The night before, it happened again. 6-2 Rangers. Let's talk about it with the Rangers hitting coach next.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.